Well, friends, let's just commend this time now to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for giving to us Thy Word. We thank Thee that the Scriptures are sealed up. We thank Thee that we have the complete canon of Scripture, that we have the whole sum of them. And we thank Thee, Father, that we can, Lord, from time to time, come to the Scriptures and look at various parts of them. And we pray, Lord, that Thou open them to us, help us to understand them, and be pleased, Lord, to apply them powerfully to us by the Holy Spirit. We appreciate anew and afresh this morning the importance that we not only have the Word, but also the Spirit. Help us to preach, Lord, but we pray that He might come. He might settle, Lord, upon minister and upon hearers alike, and bless us, Father. Speak to us clearly through Thy Word, because we ask these mercies in and through our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, our text for this morning's message is in the first book of Kings, chapter 17 and verses 8 to 16. You might think, because the last time I was preaching to you on a Sunday morning, we were also in this chapter, that I've started a series on the life of Elijah, but only a very mini one, just a series of three messages concerning Elijah. Last time, as we see, I was preaching to you at the beginning of this chapter, verses 2 to 7, God willing, this time 8 to 16. And then, in God's will, next time, next Lord's Day morning, the beginning of chapter 19. Just seeing the way in which God guided and provided for His servant in these times and protected him from his enemies. But this morning, we're looking at this chapter. Chapter 17 and verses 8 to 16. Now, last time, I'm not going to read it to you again because I read the whole of the passage a little bit earlier on. Last Sabbath day morning, our brother Tom was preaching to us the Sabbath day morning before that. We then, as I was just saying, we were looking at the first few verses of this 17th chapter of the first book of Kings. We actually really missed out the first verse. We weren't interested so much in that, but we were looking very much at verses 2 to 7. And there we were reading all about this Old Testament prophet Elijah being by the brook Cherith. A brook, of course, is just a little stream, a little valley stream, a wadi, we might call it. And he was there by the brook Cherith, and Cherith, we're told in that passage, was before Jordan. It was by the River Jordan. It's actually on the eastern side of the River Jordan in the land of Gilead, where Elijah had been born and where he had brought up. So very much a part of Israel. So Elijah stayed there for a little while. And we just looked at three things concerning his time there. First of all, about the Lord guiding him there. God guides his people continually. God guided him there, verses 2, 3, and 5. Secondly, about the Lord hiding him there. And the reason why the Lord had to hide him was because the current king at that time, King Ahab, the king of Israel, was after him, wanted to kill him because of the prophecy that he had just prophesied to him, that there wasn't going to be any dew nor rain for a number of years, except according to God's word through his servant, the prophet Elijah. So Elijah at this time was a persecuted man, and his life was in danger, his life was in peril. But God knows not only how to guide his people, he also knows how to hide his people. And he hid him by the brook Cherith. So he hid him from his arch enemy, King Ahab. And thirdly, we saw about the Lord providing for him there in a very simple way, a very effective way, water from the stream, and also in a miraculous way, a supernatural way, God sent crows and ravens according to his command to them. God can indeed command the creatures and the birds and the animals and so on, and they brought bread and flesh to him, meat both in the morning and in the evenings. So we concluded about Elijah's time there at Cherith. He was there for some time. saying he was most definitely, certainly and surely guided there. Secondly, he was safely and securely hidden there by God. And thirdly, he was very satisfactorily and simply provided there by the Lord. God did all these things to him as his king. A king is somebody who guides his people and protects his people and provides for his people. And in our Lord we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in this office he does this for us, his people. So we're looking at Elijah there by the brook Cherith. As I say, he was on the east side of the Jordan in the land of Gilead last time. Now God moves him in these next verses, chapter 17 and verses 8 to 16. Because now we don't find Elijah there, if you like, in the southeast. We find him now being moved to the northwest and right to the very coasts of the Mediterranean Sea. Right at the top of Israel, if you like, at that land. And now we find him in the city of Zarephath that belonged to Zidon or to Sidon. Zarephath means, the place name means, a place of refining. It was a city of the Phoenicians, so it's on the coast there. And it was between Tyre and Sidon. Our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4 and verse 36 called it Sarepta, but we're going to call it here, as it is in this passage, Zidon or Sidon. So we find Elijah here now, no longer really in Israel. Now we find him amongst the Gentiles, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to go to this place later on. He was going to go to the Gentiles for a short season. We find here Elijah being the first prophet of the Gentiles, going outside of his land to this place and to these people and ministering to a Gentile woman there, a widow woman who was a Gentile. So God takes him from the southeast, he takes him up far to the northwest, and he's going to spend some time there. He's going to be protected there, guided there, protected there, and provided there also. So how are we going to look at this morning? Well, just under three headings. And these are headings that we have in Matthew Henry's commentary. Matthew Henry divides it up like this. Into the first two verses, he deals with the place that Elijah was sent to, the new place that he was sent to. Elijah had to be flexible. He wanted to be protected. He had to obey God and listen to his word and go wherever God wanted him to go to be protected. The place that where he was sent to, verses 8 to 9. The person that was appointed to entertain him. He went to an unusual place. He went to a surprising place. And God provided an unusual, surprising person to look after him, to entertain him, and to provide for him in verse 9. And then in verses 11 to 16, the provision that was made for him there. Again, very unusual, extraordinary. We can say God continued to provide for him in a supernatural way, continued to act for him as his king and his Lord, as one of his children, one of his people, one of the servants of God. So let's look first of all at verses 9 and 10. And the prophet here who wrote these scriptures under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, dealing here very much with the person, not only the place where Elijah was sent to, but also the person that was appointed to entertain him. We're told in verse 8, about God's word, the word of the Lord, the word of Jehovah. And the prophet tells us that at this time, after Elijah had been there at the brook Cherith for some time now, that God's word suddenly came to him. Perhaps as he's communing there with God, perhaps as he's praying there beside the brook Cherith, perhaps as he's waiting, perhaps as the brook has now dried up, he's waiting on the Lord what he's going to do now. Perhaps the ravens aren't coming anymore. With the bread and the flesh. But suddenly at God's appointed time, the perfect timing, God comes to him and God's word comes to him and tells him where he's to go next. My dear friends, what I want you to notice here is this, is that God's servant in those days was always guided by God as to where he was to go at any one time, where he was to stay, where he was to live, where he was going to be protected and provided and so on. And he was always guided by God's word. We know that God not only guides us by his word, he also does it in providence. He also does it by the definite and the clear impressions that the Spirit gives to our spirits sometimes. But he especially speaks to us through his word. So always be much in the word. Read your Bible every day. And come and listen to Bible studies. Come and listen to sermons. Because God teaches us through his word. And he guides us through his word too. So God's word came to him. God spoke to him. But this is where we have God's word here in his Bible. And as we read it. And as we expound it. And preach on these things. God can speak to us through it. He can speak to our hearts, to our souls, and guide us in the way, guide us in our Christian lives. So we're told God's word came to him and spoke to him very clearly. We don't know whether he heard an audible voice, but we do know that whether it was an audible voice that he heard or a voice to his heart, it's very clear what God said to him. What the Lord said to him, he said to him, arise. Rise up, Elijah. Stand up, get up. Now see, indeed, he was praying by the brook there and seeking God's further guidance for himself. I want you to go now from where you are now in Israel. I want you to go into the land of the Gentiles. I want you to go far away to a Gentile woman. God wanted him to go to Zarephath, that we've already seen, a place that belonged to Zidon or Sidon. It means fortress. It was a city in Asher. And its authority extended south to Carmel and east towards the city of Damascus. And God said, I want you to dwell there. I want you to abide there, live there, remain there, tarry there for a while. And while you're there, you're going to be provided. Not only going to guide you there, I'm going to provide for you there. I have already commanded. It means here, I've charged somebody. I've made them both able and willing, or he was going to make them able and willing, to look after Elijah. And it was going to be not an Israelite woman. It was going to be a Gentile woman. It was going to be a married woman. Her hats had means and a husband to look after her. It was going to be most unusual place he was going to send him, a Gentile place. And to a Gentile woman who was a widow and who had an only son. Perhaps needed somebody to look after her and her son rather than for her to look after Elijah. But this is where God directed him to go. And there, if he goes there to her, she's going to sustain him. It means she's going to furnish you with a means of living. She will nourish you. She will look after you. She will give you a habitation, a place to stay. She will provide you with food to eat. And she will provide you with an unlikely place of protection. So we have here then God speaking to Elijah and telling him about the place where he was to go and also the person that was going to look after him. Most unlikely place, unusual place, unlikely person, unusual woman in this Gentile widow woman. But as we're going to see, Elijah didn't argue with the Lord. He didn't question with the Lord. He obeyed him implicitly. Even though the Lord seemed to be asking him to go somewhere very strange, especially for him, a Jew and a prophet, and to go to somebody who seemed very strange, a Gentile, how was she going to be able to provide for him? Elijah was going to obey implicitly. And my dear friends, God may come to you sometimes. He might speak to you out of his word. He might guide you anew and afresh. Go to this place. Go to a different place to live. Go to a different place to work. Go to a bit different place of worship. And it might seem very strange to you. Or he might be asking you to come into this area rather than going away from this area. But it might seem very strange to you. But you must always do as God has said to you. Like Mary said to those men on the time of the wedding of Cana of Galilee, you know, whatever Jesus says to you, you do it. I say to you this morning, my dear friends, whatever God says to you through his word, however he's speaking to you, you must do it. You must obey him. Wherever he wants you to, whatever he wants you to do. And not only yourselves, my dear friends, I must point this back to myself. Wherever he wants me to go, whatever he wants me to do, even though I might not want to go there, even though I might want to do it, even though it might seem strange and unusual to me, we must do as he says to us. Well, what do we find here now under this third, more major heading, the provision made for Elijah in this place? We find in verse 10 here, as we begin this section, we find that Elijah, he is not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He does rise up from the brook Cherith. He leaves that place and he goes all the way to Zarephath. And remember, he's going through enemy territory. He's going to be passing Samaria, where Ahab was. And indeed, my dear friends, you see the wonderful irony here. He was going into Jezebel's territory, Ahab's wife, who equally hated Elijah and wanted Elijah's wife. This is where she came from. She was a Sidonian. She was a Baal worshipper. That's where Baal worship came. That's how it came into Israel. And so God was taking Elijah right into the, not only through the heart of enemy territory, he was hiding right in the heart of enemy territory as well. It just shows, my dear friends, that God is sovereign, isn't he? Sometimes he can take us, what might seem to us to be a most dangerous place, but it's the safest place for us to be if it's where he wants us to be. But we find that Elijah was obedient. He did get up, he did arise, and he went to this place, Zarephath. And he did indeed meet with a widow woman there. And the prophet tells us here about her. And Matthew Henry, in his commentary, one of his headings is all about this woman and about her case and about her character. And the first thing that we find out about this widow woman is that she was a very humble and industrious and a hard-working woman. And I think we can see, as we kind of look at this, look at her case and look at her character in particular, we can see that she, even though she was a Gentile, it appears that this woman was a believer, just like Elijah. She does make a profession here, doesn't she? And she shows that she has great faith. Very few people in Israel in those days that had faith, let alone great faith. But this woman appears to have a great faith, and she needed it, because there were no social services in those days. She was a needy widow woman. My dear friend, what about you this morning? You might be a lady here, you might be a widow. You might have lost your wife, you might have lost your husband. But God cares for the widow. In fact, when you read through the scriptures, Old Testament and New, you see that God has an especial care for the widow and for the orphan and for the fatherless. And he had a special care for her. Not only was she going to look after Elijah, Elijah was also going to look after her. And all this in God's goodness, in God's kindness and love and mercy to them all. But notice, first of all, concerning her case and character, she was a very humble and industrious woman. Because when Elijah comes to this place, the city of Zarephath, when he comes to the gate of the city, it's a providential meeting, isn't it? As he's coming, she is outside of the gate of the city. And what do we find her doing? Even though she's in the midst of a drought and in the midst of a famine, she's not sat down in hopeless despair. She has risen up from the city. She may be the only one who has done this. And she's gone out of the city. She's at the gate of the city. And there she is, my dear friends, she's in a very needy case. But she's not given up. She's persevering to look after herself and for her son, even though she has very few resources and very little food left. There we find her gathering of sticks, gathering of wood. And why is that, my dear friends? Because as a woman of faith, she was somebody who didn't give up, she persevered. And as a woman of faith, she not only prayed, she also acted. And she acted in a humble and hard-working and an industrious way. My dear friend, are you a Christian here this morning? Christian woman, Christian man, Christian husband, wife, a widower here, bachelor here. If you're a Christian, my dear friends, you should not only pray to the Lord for all your needs, for guidance and protection and for provision, you're somebody who should also act as a Christian. Christians aren't at ease in Zion. Christians aren't idle. Christians are not inactive people. We're active people, my dear friends. Even when things get very difficult and hard, we are people who persevere. We carry on. We don't give up. We don't throw in the towel. We keep on going, my dear friends, as Christians, in the Christian life. When things and circumstances are difficult, we keep on. And we use means. And we are those who ought to seek to be humble before our God, and those who seek to be hardworking and industrious. You are hardworking, for you don't say, oh, well, I'm a believer. Oh, and I pray, but I don't really do anything. No, no. You're a Christian, you pray. You pray as though everything depends on prayer. And then you work in the church, and you work then outside of the church, and in your home as though everything depends upon your work, just like Hudson Taylor of old. Just like that. Be like this woman. She's an example to you. She's an example to me of great faith and faith in action, faith not giving up, faith persevering, faith going on, and faith working hard and trusting in God, even when things look bleakest of all. She was facing starvation. She was facing dehydration. She was facing death, and yet she went on. She persevered as God gave her grace. And look what Elijah does here now. Before he is provided for himself. Verses 10 and 11. As he comes to the gate of the city, as he sees her, and perhaps God in some way indicates to her, this is the very woman that's going to be sheltering and harbouring him, and looking after him, and feeding him in the future. God, through him, and he himself tests her faith here, calls out to her twice. The second time as she goes to fetch what he asked her the first time round, fetch a little water in a vessel. But he cries out to her and says, and you've got to remember the context of this. There's a drought, there's a famine going on. She has hardly any water, and water would have been sold in those days. She could have made money out of this. And she would have had very little water. She had hardly any food left at all. Just a handful of meal, handful of flour. And it appears that perhaps she had a little oil in a cruse, that means in a dish, or in a vase, or in a flask. Look what Elijah does here to test her faith. My dear friends, sometimes God really brings us to an extremity. And in that extremity, he really tests our faith, that our faith might really come forth as gold, that we might be purged, we might show a great faith and demonstrate a great faith as this woman does here. Is she going to be able to do this, what he asks her to do? He says to her, go fetch me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. I'm thirsty, my mouth is parched. Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel. It means just a bit of bread in your hand, in order that I might eat, because I'm very hungry. I don't know, perhaps Elijah hadn't eaten all the time he'd gone to this place. My dear friends, what would you have done? If you'd have been asked such a thing, you have hardly anything left, and somebody's asking for it. Here Elijah was asking for it, but it really, in a way, God was asking this woman to give over her last things, to see if she had that kind of faith. To believe the impossible, to believe that God could do the supernatural, and still yield this up, and still multiply the food and provide for her and his child. And it's going to be Elijah as well, another mouth to feed in the future. Did she have that kind of faith? Did she have that kind of quality and caliber and character of faith? My dear friend, do you? Do I? If we were reduced to this, been asked for our last bit of money, for our last things, we have the faith to yield them to God, to render them over to God, to give them to him, to give ourselves to him, and believe that he could provide for us in the future. I wonder if any of us have ever been brought to such an extremity, to such a need, Christians have in the past. Christians still do in the present. They still will do in the future. You might in the future. What will you do? Like Richard Wurmbrand, when he was in prison in Romania, persecuted there. Somebody asked him for his blankets, very cold where he was. What was he going to do? Was he going to give his only blanket to that? Yes, he did. Because he had faith to believe that God would still protect him and keep him in that place, keep him alive in that place. He gave over his blanket because he had such a remarkable faith. Do you have such a faith, my dear friends? To do such things as these acts of great faith. So we're told here that she was a woman who was humble. She was a woman who was trusting in God. We also told, Matthew Henry tells us, that she was very poor and needy. Because this is the reply that she gives to Elijah. Oh, she says, you can see that she probably was a believer, though a Gentile, as the Lord thy God liveth. She recognizes that he's a Jew, but she recognizes that he's a servant of God. As the Lord thy God lives, I don't have a cake, a bread cake, that they used to bake on hot stones, covered with ashes, that it might be cooked, such as could be hastily prepared, or baked on the hearth. I don't have that. I have just a handful of meal, corn flour in a barrel. That was a great earthen jar or vessel to hold meal or water in, not a barrel of wood as we would understand. I have a little olive oil in a cruse, a dish, a flask for oil or water. Behold, I'm gathering, picking up two sticks, that I may go in and dress it, prepare it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She was a lady who was humble and hardworking, but she was still, in spite of that, very poor and needy. You might be like that. Even in our country, there is a great deal of poverty. Relatively speaking, perhaps, compared to other people, not the kind of poverty that we see in other countries. You might be poor and needy. But like this widow woman, you know, take a leaf out of her book, look at her example. She was trusting in God, trusting him. When you go through times like that, perhaps you have to give up things in order to serve God. You might come into reduced circumstances, but especially in these days of economic crisis and financial need, you might be poor and needy, trust in him. But if not, if you're not poor and needy, you might think, especially today, think of people in other countries. Pray for them. Provide for them if you have the means to do so. The people of Ethiopia today, going through famine and drought, hardship. The people of Kenya. The people of Somalia. You might not be in need, my dear friends. You might not be looking where the next meal is coming from, the next drink is coming from. But they are. As we ought to remember them today, pray for them. And also to seek to help them. Out of the means that God has given to us as good stewards, we should think of missionaries, missionary societies, and those in need throughout the world. She was poor and needy. God was going to provide for her, and Elijah. God will provide for you. He's Jehovah Jireh. Don't doubt it. Trust in him. Only believe. Only trust in him. So Elijah, he is going to